I'm with Anne Harrigan once again, the conductor of the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra, which performs on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. in W.K. Kellogg Auditorium. Well, it's great to see you again, Anne.
Well, thank you, Kara. It's wonderful to be here and wonderful to see you again as well.
Well, this concert is going to appeal to fans of a very popular Masterpiece Theater program that used to run on Sunday nights.
That's quite possible. Our title of our concert is Hats Off to Downton Abbey. And we are going to be showcasing some music from Masterpiece Theater, the theme from Downton Abbey, and then spinning off into our larger works, which will be highlighting some great English masterworks that were frequently played on Masterpiece Theater, you know, as background, and you hear them in films constantly. That is the Benjamin Britten Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra and Edward Elgar's famous Enigma Variations.
Both of them are sets of variations, which is a neat form that we often don't get to hear in symphonic concerts because they focus on the symphonic form or like the four-movement symphony.
But that's correct. That's correct.
I love variations.
I do too, and I particularly like these. They really speak to the personalities of the composers and the distinctively English feels, which is what we're going for. You know, Downton Abbey certainly captured the imaginations of many people as they were watching the folks and the traditions of the time and as they changed. And in the same way, the Benjamin Britten and especially the Elgar are little capsules of English life at the time.
Edward Elgar and Benjamin Britten, what are some of the things that they brought to British music and kind of characterized that sound that makes it distinct?
Well, I think with Elgar especially, the Enigma Variations was started on a day when he was sort of noodling at the piano. And his wife was like, well, that's nice. What is that? You know, he started playing and he started playing around with it and decided to create some little mini tributes to his friends. And he would make them up and he'd play something. And he says, who do you think that sounds like? And his wife, Carolina, would, you know, sort of guess. And so he created the Enigma Variations is a set of 14 variations on a theme, each of which is a tribute to a different colleague or a friend. And in that, it kind of gives you a picture of English life. And I'll give you an example. One of the variations, it talks about the sound of it is the rustling of the skirts on the floor. Now, think about that. We don't hear rustling of the skirts on the floor anymore, you know, and the gentle laughter of a lady who is just very noble and sweet but has a certain presence to herself. And so I'll have to dig through and figure out which one. And, of course, the Nimrod variation, which we will be playing at some point during this conversation.
Yeah, I'm sure we will.
is a whole thing in and of itself. But one of the things that strikes me that's very different is that back in that time, there was no television, there was no cars, there was no cell phones. People got together, and they did things together. And many times, what Elgar is recalling is a memory of a person of what they did together. So they played chamber music together. He had a viola student. He has a memory of being caught in a thunderstorm, a dog paddling down into a lake. And so it's not just the personalities, but it's the things that they did together that are very charming. Now, it starts out with one theme, and then the reason it's called Enigma is because there's one of the variations that just says asterisk, 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 and he's not telling who that is. That's the enigma, and it's been a source of discussion still. He never told. There's clues in the music, and I think that Elgar fans have narrowed it down to two people, but they are not in agreement as to who this should be.
So it's been a mystery for 100 years or more.
It has been an unsolved mystery.
I love that he took from his own domestic life that this was something that made him feel good to characterize his friends and family.
I do too.
And just last week, there was a local performance of Strauss' Alpine Symphony, you know, and so a composer like Strauss was looking to Nietzsche and trying to make the biggest statements about, you know, world vision and philosophies and things, whereas Elgar just looked into his parlor and saw, that's a person I love. I'm going to write about them.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
It does. It just makes you think about, you know, a different kind of life of companionship, of friendship, of, you know, getting together and playing music.
Absolutely.
So maybe we should start with the theme from the Enigma Variations, of which everything else spins off. So that's the theme. And this is a theme to the Enigma Variations that we're performing with the Battle Creek Symphony this coming Saturday, November 18th at the W.K. Kellogg Auditorium. More information at battlecreeksymphony.org or 269-963-1911. Patrick's still there. I'd love to tell you a little bit more about it. So he starts out with the theme, and then each of the variations has a set of initials or a nickname. The first variation is CAE, which is Carolyn Alice Elgar, his wife, suitable. And it's got all these different layers and textures with some notes later of Still Waters Run Deep. You get a sense of a passion, but of also a delicacy and a romanticism. I thought we might listen to that, and then the next one is a typical one where he's poking gentle fun at H.P. Stuart Powell, who was one of his piano buddies who practiced finger exercises all the time, but he tended to practice them in diatonic, in major keys. And so Elgar created a finger exercise that actually is pretty brutal for the violins, but it's all in sharps and flats. And so it's a real inside joke.
Yeah, just a reminder to his friend that he needs to play in flats and sharps.
Yes, exactly. So those two are a kind of interesting contrast. I thought it might be fun to listen to those together. And that's what I was talking about with the different memories, you know, and personalities. I mean, how many times would you have somebody joking about your chromaticism?
I'm with Anne Harrigan, the music director of the Battle Creek Symphony, in concert on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. with a concert called Hats Off to Downton Abbey. Let's hear a few more variations from the Enigma Variations.
Thank you.
two more variations from the Enigma set by Edward Elgar.
Yes, that was Carolyn Alice Elgar, his wife, and then George Sinclair, who is his friend, the pianist. You can hear the finger exercises on the violin. It's so interesting. We were talking about the fact that the Enigma Variations was premiered in 1899, which, of course, is the first year that the Battle Creek Symphony was formed. Think about that.
Oh, that's a wonderful coincidence.
It is. It is. So it's interesting to think of what was it like, you know, in our area. You know, what were people doing? You know, were there people living lives like this? So we can sort of connect up with that.
Well, there are still connections to 1899 in Battle Creek and Kalamazoo. Certain buildings and certain great industry titans were getting their start around
then. That's right.
Then.
Exactly. They were. So the movements have a lot of variety. As we started out, we heard that, you know, it starts out a little more slow and delicate. It really picks up a lot of steam in many of the movements. And then there's a centerpiece movement that we'll talk about in a minute. But this is one of my favorite movements. It's called George R. Sinclair. This is GRS. And it says GRS, but it's really about his dog.
Oh,
but his bulldog and a specific memory of the dog kind of cascading, I think half running, half falling down a hill, kind of rolling into a hill, running into a lake, being very happy with himself, paddling away and barking. And so you can really hear just the energy and the fun and everybody kind of laughing at this dog and his antics.
It almost seems like it's just a throwaway fact that Elgar wrote a masterpiece. It, for him, it sounds like it was a great deal of labor of love.
It was. Yeah. He had a good time doing it, and I think people were really moved and really honored by these little tributes that he had.
What an excitable canine.
He was having a good time, yes.
Must have been.
You can hear the barking. You can hear the energy and the fun and just the laughing and the good times. And writing all this down, what an imagination for Elgar to take that memory and put it in, because you can't miss it. I mean, those scales, you can just kind of imagine this bulldog, you know, running and probably flipping and running and going down the hill and having a great old time and probably getting himself going so fast, you know. A contrast to the most famous variation of the Enigma Variations has been performed many, many times at ceremonies, funerals. It was just recently featured in the movie Dunkirk, which is the famous Nimrod Variation. And is, I think, the most moving, even though it's often used as a tribute. I think it was at maybe Roosevelt's and Churchill's funeral. It's used as a thing of sadness. It really isn't. It's a memory, again, of a man, his publisher, A.J. Jaeger, and Nimrod in German, it's a nickname, you know, is Jaeger's the Hunter. And this is where he goes from Jaeger to Nimrod as the Hunter. Huh. But it's a memory of a time when Elgar was particularly down. He was really disheartened about his composing, and he wanted to quit. He wanted to give up, and his friend and publisher spent a long evening with him talking and encouraging him and just telling him, you know, not to give up, and talking about Beethoven and his struggles and talking about Beethoven's slow movements, and just had a long talk that night and was encouraging and really encouraged Elgar to keep going. And he credited him with the fact that he didn't, you know, despair and kept going. And so this is the centerpiece of the Elgar Enigma Variations. And you can certainly hear the love and the appreciation for this very good friend.
Nimrod, one of the variations from Elgar's Enigma variations that has a life outside of the big piece. And Anne, you said this is actually a moment of hope for Elgar. It's a memory of his friend talking him out of his depression over his career in music. It's just so stirring.
You know, it's impossible to listen to it without being moved, verklempt, I guess. It was funny because even as we're sitting in the studio, you get a little teary-eyed because it just brings up so many associations. It's such a powerful piece. But when you hear it live, it really is truly, truly amazing piece of music. And
for those who are wondering, this recording I chose is Daniel Barenboim and the London Symphony in 1974. So you'll hear a fresh performance on Saturday at 7:30 at WK Kellogg Auditorium. BattleCreekSymphony.org is the website for ticket information and more.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, the Nimrod variation is always a challenge because it's an extremely emotional piece. It's a very powerful piece. And yet, in contrast to, say, Strauss, it's English. So it needs to be done with some restraint as well. So it's a balancing act, you know. And it was interesting. And we were talking about the Dunkirk treatment of it, Hans Zimmer, which I thought was an interesting way that he really spun it out. Again, it creates a lot of emotional gravitas, I guess, you know, to obviously a very intense period of time, but it was an interesting setting of it. And there's so many different ways to interpret it. So every time you listen, every time you conduct it, you do it a little bit different. I'll do it differently, for example, this time when we're doing it, than when we played it after Matthew Hazelwood, my predecessor, had passed away. We'll put a very different feeling on it. So it'll be fun to do it within the context of the Enigma Variations, which I have not done here. It was actually the last time the Battle Creek Symphony did it was when Matthew was conducting. It was the year before I came, and I remember hearing them play it.
Is that right?
Very good performance. So this will be fun.
One thing I appreciate that the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra is doing for this performance is helping the audience keep track of which variation is currently playing. And you'll be doing that through the help of projections.
Yes, yes. We have two great screens on the side of the auditorium. And so for each of the variations, we're going to have a photograph of the person in question. I will have their name and also just a little cue as far as what the music is doing. Because, I mean, the reason I know this is from years of research and reading books, and it adds to my appreciation and my interpretation of the piece. And not knowing it, this music is still wonderful and you don't have to have it, but it really enhances it. And, you know, we don't really want people to be getting their iPhones out saying, okay, so which variation is this? So, but it'll maybe afterwards you might want to do some more digging into Elgar and these interesting characters. But I think it will enhance the appreciation and the enjoyment on the audience because it kind of will help you know which variation you're in and what you're listening for and really have an appreciation of how did Elgar make something sound, you know, like delicacy, or how do you contrast to that to somebody with strong opinions? You know, there's one that talks about a pretty hesitation of speech, uses it in the woodwinds, and especially, of course, the Enigma variation, the Romanza, which has got all these clues, and one of the things he has in it is it says Romanza for starters, but he has a quote of a piece of music which is called the Calm Sea and Prosperous Voyage by Mendelssohn. It's in the clarinet. So when you hear that, all right, so Calm Sea and Prosperous Voyage, all right, well, that could be somebody who has traveled, perhaps.
Sounds like a clue to me.
Sounds like a clue, but what's also very interesting is the timpani plays a triple piano role. It says in the score with side drumsticks, but I actually saw a Berlin Philharmonic performance in which they use their fingertips kind of rattling like this, you know, and it creates the unmistakable sound of an engine, of a steamship. So now we have somebody who's traveling on a steamship with the Calm Sea and Prosperous Voyage. So some people have decided this is the Lady Mary Trefusis, who was a noblewoman of the time, who was a patron, and who had gone on a journey. And other people think it's a former fiancé who also had gone on a journey, and that's why he didn't mention it. You know, so
the enigma, it may have something to do with a lady love.
It could be. It could be. So
as devoted as he was to Carolyn.
Yes. And so he, you know, out of respect, perhaps. But it is definitely, I think it's fair to say that it is a feminine variation. And there's some warmth and appreciation, but it's a different feeling. You have much more tenderness in the one for Carolyn. And hers came first, as it should be.
Is it traditional for a set of variations to finish up with a fugue?
A fugue, yes, or a finale.
Or a finale.
Or a finale, which is what we have.
So
in
Elgar
this
didn't start the, didn't do the bah, 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 into a some sort of fugue.
Correct. He did not. What he did instead with his finale is he started bringing back his different variations. So you'll hear little bits and pieces of the variations that he brought in before. But it's definitely very exciting and energetic. So, yes, let's listen to the Enigma variation and then the finale from Elgar's Enigma variations.
it's a triumphant kind of conclusion to the Elgar Variations.
It's just fantastic. And it's so exciting to have the entire orchestra on stage. You know, the energy of the players, it's riveting and it's a lot of fun. It's definitely one of the best parts of my job. So it's exciting. It gets me excited thinking about rehearsals. You know, it's I don't know if people realize, but with a professional orchestra, these musicians, they travel from all over. I mean, I have somebody flying in from Montana. I have somebody coming in from Cleveland. I have somebody, lots of people from all over the region, as well as Battle Creek, Kalamazoo. And the week before, they're playing somewhere else. Mm-hmm. In fact, the West Michigan Symphony just played Enigma last week. And so they have to prepare. They get together. The first time I will see these musicians will be Wednesday night. And it's going to be a little bit of a crazy schedule because we have Wednesday night, we have one rehearsal, and then on Thursday morning and Friday morning, we do performances for school children, which is made available free to the schools.
And we'll should interrupt and say that even though listeners are hearing this on Thursday morning, you and I are speaking on a Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah. So for you, tomorrow is Wednesday.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. And so we have 1,600 students each day who are going to have an opportunity to hear parts of the Enigma Variations and also the Britain Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra, which is truly a transformative experience. We know this from surveying people, major orchestras survey people all the time. And that experience of hearing a live symphony orchestra, it does more than introduce them to classical music. It opens up their brains to a whole world of possibilities. Because when you hear something, you go in a hall and you're experiencing live music with that many people. A lot of these kids don't have that kind of opportunity. You know, to hear something of that level, and at a certain level, they get it. It just takes the brain in so many different places. Well, what could I do? You know, if these people are doing that, what do I want? What are my dreams? And that's what we're looking for. We're not trying to train the next generation of professional musicians, although there will be somebody. There'll be somebody in that hall but somebody will change their mind about something. Mm-hmm. It could be a kindergartner, it could be a fifth grader, but somebody's going to say, wow, I want to do something. And it might be, I just want to do something. I don't know what that something is, but, you know, it's kind of having these big dreams is what we're all about. And so it's a very exciting time to be sharing this wonderful thing that we do, that we love, and giving a gift to the children and then sharing it with our wonderful audiences who are so supportive and so good to us in Battle Creek. And so it's going to be a great week. And of course, Downton Abbey is so much fun. We're going to have fantastic exhibits in the lobby having to do with period costumes. So we're going to have a great deal of fun with this Downton Abbey theme.
Really getting into the spirit of things with Hats Off to Downton Abbey and Elgar's Enigma Variations.
We're also performing the theme from Masterpiece Theater, the theme from Downton Abbey. Silvia Cirarane is performing the lovely Salut d'Amour, the salute to love.
And she's a cellist, right?
And she is our principal cellist. Yes. She also plays in the Kalamazoo Symphony, has played with us for many years, a very wonderful, romantic, talented individual. And the other big piece we talked about initially is the Benjamin Britten Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra, which is a very tongue-in-cheek, entertaining introduction to the orchestra that was written for adults, I am sure of it, because it's got so many brilliant little caricatures of the instruments. And this is something the BBC Proms performs on a very regular basis. And we're fortunate we have a fabulous narrator, Miss Jennifer Conley-Darling, who is the director of the Frank Children's Theater, had a career in New York, grew up in Marshall, Michigan, went to New York, had an active career as an actress, and now has come back, has done fantastic things. So she will be our narrator for the Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra.
Benjamin Britten is the composer. He's one of my favorites. For the quality of staying young throughout his life, he was often able to be very playful.
Yes.
In his pieces. Even though I'm looking at a CD right now that says Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra and then War Requiem on it. So this is a very two-sided recording. But
well, Britten was a pacifist. He was a conscientious objector. And so he had very strong feelings. And you're right, he had a wide range of personalities. And you'll hear pieces that have great depth and great pathos, and also this tongue-in-cheek, you know, this English humor, which is, again, well, not quite Monty Python, but only, you know, only England could have created Monty Python. It's just a dry sense of humor. I guess that's what Britten has. It's very clever, very witty. And what he chose for his theme is he chose a theme that somebody else wrote.
Right. We have to look to another British composer.
Yes.
For this.
Henry Purcell. So he starts with Henry Purcell and he breaks it out into the different instruments of the orchestra. I don't know what my favorite variations are. There's so many. But I think that the flutes going into the clarinets and the bassoons are some of the cleverest.
Why don't we start at the top and hear a couple of variations?
That sounds great.
Thank you.
That's got a smile on my face.
Exactly. So you can see what I mean. They're fun. They're a fun set of variations. They're fun for the kids, but they're also fun for the adults, because I think the adults can pick up the more British humor than the kids will just, you know, hear it. But it's the Britain Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra. It's a piece that I've loved since, I don't know when, I think probably since college. One of my conducting teachers knew Sir Peter Pears, who was Benjamin Britten's partner and for whom he narrated many times. And he also wrote the Britten Serenade for Tenor, Horn, and Strings. So a very famous person. And so he actually came to the Peabody Institute, and I had an opportunity to, you know, meet him and play that piece at the time. So again, so that connection up with a whole different generation of great English composers. And this is one of the finest genres, I think, of orchestral music, is the English school of music. And we don't hear it very often.
That's right. And that's why this is called Hats Off to Downton Abbey.
Yes.
But in a big picture sort of way to the music making in the British Isles.
Well, it is. And it's funny because as popular, rapidly popular as, you know, these sort of English period pieces are, Poldark, personal fan, I will say.
And, put me on that list.
Yes. Yeah. At a Masterpiece Theater, you know, Upstairs, Downstairs. I mean, there's so many great pieces. And that music, those shows are all infused with this British music, not to mention the fascination with the crown and the royalty. Mm. And yet, you know, you don't hear the music standalone, but it's a part of anybody who listens to NPR or watches PBS knows this music, and it will be very familiar and very enjoyable to them as well.
One thing I was also listening to was some pretty brilliant writing, difficult writing, those clarinets swooping up and down like that. So the orchestra is on point. I mean, they really need to be ready for quick changes and sort of brilliant lines.
Oh, yes. If it's Benjamin Britten, you can be guaranteed it's going to be very challenging. In a good way for the orchestra. I mean, this orchestra is really a crackerjack orchestra, and they enjoy the challenge. Mm-hmm. And so they'll be excited to show off. You know, but on point is exactly the term. Excellent. And it's fun for the audiences, too, because especially those, you know, who know the symphony and love the symphony, they're very proud of their orchestra, and they love to hear them show off. And for those who may not know, you know, the Battle Creek Symphony, I think I can say that they might be duly impressed, you know, when they come in here, that it's a wonderful orchestra, very talented musicians that I have very little to do with. The credit for how well they play, they come from so many different places. And I'm very honored and grateful to be able to work with them. They're a lot of fun to work with. And when we talk about virtuosity, there is nothing that beats the finale, the fugue of The Young Person's Guide. And if you listen carefully, this is where you can really hear the cleverness of Benjamin Britten, because with the fugue, typically you have a fugue is a series of entrances of the different instruments, and he goes in the order that he did the variations as he introduced the instruments, but he changes it up every single time. And if you think in rock music or in dance music, we typically have four-bar phrases. You know, you have a four-bar phrase and then a four-bar phrase. And right away, Britten breaks that rule. He has a four-bar phrase and a three-bar phrase. So right away, you're off. You know, so when is this person going to come in? The next time, there's a four-bar phrase and a three-bar phrase and a four-bar phrase. And the next time, it's four and three and four and three. The next time, it's four and five and four and four. So it gives us this marvelous sense of, you don't really know what's going to happen. If you know a fugue, if you feel a fugue, you know if somebody's going to come in next. That's the whole idea. And you have more and more people coming in. It's this kind of a cascading thing of all this energy. But you don't know. And he starts, he has every single instrument in the orchestra joining in. And so it's really something. And then, of course, with the percussion, an amazing array of percussion at the end. And so if you hear this fugue, and then he takes, the fugue keeps going in, and he brings in the Purcell theme in a completely different meter at the same time, simultaneously.
That's just genius.
Oh, it is absolutely brilliant. You've got to listen to it. And then, of course, come on Saturday and hear it live, because it is just one of those most amazing fugues. And there's many great fugues, but I just love the sparkling personality. It's a challenge, though. I'm not going to say it's an easy fugue, that's for sure.
Well, and your job is to, you know, sort of cue all these entrances.
Oh, yes.
So you have to be counting very carefully, too, yeah. And watching that score and keeping everything up in your mind just before it happens.
Well, it goes by too fast to really watch, so you have to memorize. You have the score there,
oh my,
just in case. But yes, you have to be there because it's so hard to count. And remember, when there might be a musician who's counting 220 measures of rest, and you have to be with them. You have to help them and just make sure they've been counting. But, you know, it's kind of nice to get a supportive look from the conductor. To know,
yep, it sure is. Yeah.
This is actually 220 and not 221.
Oh, my. Well, Anne, this hour just flew by.
It did.
I hope you have a terrific concert Saturday night.
Thank you.
7:30 p.m. Details at battlecreeksymphony.org. Or you can talk to Patrick at 269-963-1911. Here's the fugue.
Thank you.